right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Have a great weekend, everybody. Here we go. Let's launch it together. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Jayanna Jones is on. S. Clark, 1968 is on. Hassle-Free TV is on. Judy Anita is on. Beckland 60 is on. Regina Loves Art is on. Kipko is on. Sheila K is on. U.S. Abbey Girl is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. D9597 is on. Alpha Acres is on. Dave Souter is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Confederate One is on. Bud Dave is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Noodle McGroin, the McGroin Nation, is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Kev FM1 is on. I just lost my place here. Oh, there we are. Scott Allott is on. Mike Griffin is on. Lizzie 859 is on. Confederate One is on. Man 26 is on. Lisa Kinzer 11990 is on. Mama Via is on. Abseek's Truth is on. Wisconsin Honey Badger is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Spoken 007 is on. Day Now 59 is on. Leon Fish Puppy, she's on. Let me see who I missed. Anybody here? Tammy L. Margritter is on. Alpha Acres is on. Granite 2468 is on. Aaron Yeager, the producer, is on. Let's see here. Q the Band is on. Love you guys. 23 Justin Blake is on. Gen 11 Live Free, Live Free is on. Appreciate you guys. All right, let's hop right into this tonight. Here's a great little tweet here by Scott Adams. Summing up the last week of the Harris-Waltz campaign. So here's a little summation of it. The Harris campaign is doing great this past week. Here's the list. Harris got the endorsement of Sean P. Diddy Combs. Party attendees J-Lo and LeBron James. Both endorsed Kamala Harris as well as others. Joe Biden nibbled on babies in public. That's a great move. I believe he's campaigning for Donald Trump. I honestly do. I mean, if you're going to pull out baby's feet and nibble on them at the Halloween party.
So creepy.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much for nibble on a kid's feet.
So creepy.
It is. I mean, you think, you know what? I'm going to play it cool. I'm going to be on the down low. No, not Joe. Joe Biden dressed as a pedophile mascot panda, not realizing what panda means in the pedophile world. Fantastic people. Biden called Trump supporters, all of us, garbage. Harris surrogate Mark Cuban called all women that support Donald Trump weak and dumb. It's all facts, by the way. This is all indisputable. On the positive side, Bruce Springsteen endorsed Harris, but mispronounced her name like only a racist does. It's great. It's so good. When she's already mispronounced, she's already pronounced her name three different ways, it's pretty hard to choose. And Harris awkwardly attended a black barbershop, but no one cared. No one cares. Unless you bust in Beyonce, Megan Thee Stallion, whatever other bands they bring in that I've never heard of, she can't attract any crowds. That's why the polls are what they are. So that's a little summation of the Harris-Waltz campaign over the last week. So let's look at the polls real quick. Michael Pruser tweet, our last Nevada update for October is in. 930,296 votes have been recorded, which represents 68% of the vote has already come in Nevada, and we are up by about 50,000. Well, we're up over Democrats about 50,000 votes. It depends on how the others vote. Republicans found a way to go 13 for 13 in early voting, netting 2,887 votes today. Today, that's today, over Democrats. That's unheard of in the state of Nevada, just so everybody knows. In these days, in fraudulent elections, this is why you have to vote early and get it done. I voted today myself. Here it is. Voted today. Boom, right there. A little alligator on it, if you can't see it, in the state of Florida. I just want to announce I voted for Donald Trump. All right, so anyway.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Voted for Donald Trump. Matter of fact, I didn't even look at the ballot except for I could see Trump's name. Everything else, I just simply looked for the REP. Yep, yep, yep. Didn't take me very long, and I already knew how to vote on all the other things. All right, Republicans found a way, whatever. With the final day of early in-person remaining, this is where we stand. 47,295 raw vote lead, 5.1% current electorate. There we go. So that's good. Go to the next for me, Nas. Interactive polls by Rasmussen. This is one of the polls like Trafalgar that you actually need to be paying attention to. Because just so you know, just so everybody knows, the Democratic polls like NPR, I've got them written here, Marist, the Times poll, and that's not New York Times. It's a general poll called The Times, pretty big poll. They all have Trump losing by a narrow margin, but they all have Trump losing. And losing every state that Rasmussen says that he's winning, just so you know what the Democratic polls say. And there shouldn't be Democratic polls, and there shouldn't be Republican polls. There should be Rasmussen and Trafalgar polls, which, by the way, Rasmussen, you go on there and you're like, well, he's conservative. He's conservative, but his polls aren't. His polls have showed Trump losing before. I mean, none of the liberal polls ever show Trump winning. So, I mean, it brings, you know, a valid point, too. You saw on the pregame where you had I just forgot his name. But anyway, oh, gosh, I hate when I can't remember. The conservative pundit who was on with the Washington Post, what was his name? Gosh.
Oh, gosh, I can't remember.
I hate when I remember their names. I hate it. But anyway, the conservative, I'll remember it in a second. But anyway, the conservative pundit that was on on the Washington Post. And you have, of course, it was the editorial section, but he actually had to bring them back online. And, you know, even if you're an editorial section of a newspaper, in other words, you are an editorial journalist, you're still supposed to tell the correct story and then give your opinion about the correct story. And if you are a publisher, i.e. the Washington Post, you're supposed to just tell the story, not ever include your opinion in the story. That is the purpose of all journalism, except if you identify yourself as a pundit. If you identify yourself as a pundit, which I am, which Bongino is, which Steve Bannon is, which Alex Jones is, which, you know, but Joe and Mika, Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski, Hugh Hewitt. Thank you, Aaron. It's going to drive me nuts. Hugh Hewitt, that was on the Washington Post. Those people never do. Dana Bash? No. Chuck Todd? No. They don't identify themselves. You know, back in the day when Stelter still had a job with CNN, which I believe they just hired him back, or some other news agency did. But anyway, they never label themselves as pundits. They label themselves as journalists. It should be and none of them are journalists, because a journalist simply tells the story as happened before their eyes, or simply tells the story as reported to them. That's what a journalist does. But now journalism is simply Goebbels, Pravda, Mockingbird media for the Democratic Party and the globalist left. So here is, but Rasmussen, although he himself is a conservative, and you're like, well, it's easy for you to say a conservative puts out, a fair poll because he's conservative. Well, that is what we believe. I believe conservative judges are fair. I do, because they're actually reading the Constitution and are applying the law fairly. I believe the exact same thing with Rasmussen. So anyway, and same thing with Trafalgar. And by the way, their polls are always correct. And Marist never is. NPR never is. So anyway, Pennsylvania, Trump up by 2. This is final polling right here. Now, as Bongino said today, the only polls that matter are ballots. Nevada up, Trump up by 2. North Carolina, Trump up by 3. Pennsylvania Senate, just kind of an interesting little side note here, tied. That's a must win. We must win the Senate. We're probably going to win in Montana. We might win this one, and we should be winning. Should be winning a seat, hopefully, in West Virginia. All right, let's go to the next one. Now it's Joe Concha tweet. Nevada early voting ends today, as I already said. But Trump up 5.1, as we already said, in early voting in Nevada per Ralston, and is considered the bluest of the 7 battleground states. Nevada is considered the bluest of the battleground states, and Trump is up by 5. Trump will lead in North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada going into Election Day. And that, by the way, to my knowledge, has never happened before, that we are actually up in early voting. This is exactly what you want to be, because this is how you make it too big to rig. If you have early voting tallies that are on paper, that are actually already there, they can't change them on the voting machines. They can't actually accidentally burn up where the votes are stored. They can't accidentally leave them in clumps in a canyon. All those are real stories, by the way. Kamala's only path will be Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. And if she wins those, there's a wild card of Trump taking another state like New Hampshire, Virginia, New Mexico. And by the way, some polling that I've seen shows him leading in New Jersey, thereby rendering last Republican to win in New Jersey was George Herbert Walker Bush. Thereby rendering the blue wall mute regardless. So there you go. Let's go to the next one. Michael Pruser tweet again. Arizona frequency was updated today courtesy of @JRodPlum. Republicans now have a 180,000 ballot advantage heading into the weekend. It should be up over 200,000 before Election Day. On record, early voting. Great job, Republicans. Great job, conservatives, and any Democrats and libertarians across the line. Even though they've made an effort to go TV early. I don't even know what that means. Do you, Aaron? I don't know what that is. I looked at it earlier. I guess I should have looked it up, but I don't know what that means. Many registered Republicans not on the absentee mail list are still waiting to vote in person on Election Day. They continue to outpace Democrats in daily margins in all four buckets and might catch Democrats in the 3-for-3 share when all the votes have been counted. 67% of the expected vote is already recorded in Arizona. So it's like, get out to vote. Thank you, Aaron. Get out to vote. So in Arizona and Nevada, 68% of people have already voted. 67% of people have already voted in Arizona. We're up by 50,000-ish votes over Democrats anyway in Nevada. And right here, this is Democrat v. the Republican. We're up by 180,000 today. Expected to be up over 200,000. That doesn't count the people that are voting non-party independent. But anyway, but it's big. All right, let's go to the next one. Interactive polls tweet. Hope you guys don't mind the polls. I love the polls. I like watching. Here's Trafalgar now, which was 100% accurate. And I believe in 16 and 20. New electoral map based on final Trafalgar insider advantage polling. Trump wins the electoral college 306 to 232. Anybody who gets overconfident and doesn't go out and vote if you haven't voted already, via what I'm saying, I'm calling you stupid right now, just so you know. You need to get out and make sure that you vote and bring people with you. All right, North Carolina, Trump up 3 points. And as I said last night from Grant Stitchfield, it appears that Kamala has pulled her financing out of North Carolina. It may even be that Kamala Harris's campaign has run out of money and she's putting whatever money she does have in Virginia because Virginia is really too close to call. Arizona, Trump up by 2. Pennsylvania, Trump up by 1. Wisconsin, Trump up by 1. Michigan, Trump up by 0.6. And Trafalgar has Trump down by 0.2. In Nevada, which that means Trump's actually up by 2 or 3. Polymarket odds are at Trump 59% chance of winning, basically 60% chance of winning. Harris 40% chance of winning. All right, go to the next one for me. Interactive polls. Final poll by Rasmussen Poll. Here's the general election. Trump 49% nationwide. Harris 46%, other 3%. There you go. Just wanted you to know what the polls had to say on all this stuff. So now let's go into the latest hoax, shall we? And by the way, that's a lot of slides I got through right there.
I know.
Guys. I mean, that's good. I mean, that counts a lot to my total.
We're cooking. See,
I usually give them like 60 slides, and I go through like 12. So, hey, this counts a lot right
there. That's seven right there.
Flowing right through. Usually I'm at seven around, what, 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
So there we go. So I'm already at seven. It's only 9:26. So anyway, by the way, my time guess for the night, I'm going to be conservative, 10:15. 10:15, so I'm going to be done in about 48 minutes. There you go, 48 minutes. All right, how many people believe that? All right, so let's go. All right, Tom, so latest controversy is that Trump wants to put Liz Cheney in front of a firing squad. Now, I want everybody to find the video where Trump says that he wants to put Liz Cheney in front of a firing squad because that's what we've been told by Mika and Joe. Remember, you saw it in the pregame, and Aaron and I just both grimaced when we saw it. But Mika and Joe both put their phones up. You know, they put their phones up. You know, they go, and they have, like, some sort of image. Oh, that's my dog right there, so everybody knows, but... there it is, and they both have this frown on their face, this very serious expression because Trump said that he was going to put Liz Cheney in front of a firing squad. That's what they said. Trump never said any of that. Just like he never said there's fine people on both sides. Just like he never said there are suckers and losers and other things. Just like he said, I'm not going to spend $60,000 burying a Mexican. Never happened. Just like he never said that he would prefer Hitler's generals. He's never said any of those things that all these people are simply making up or not just even making up, but repeating parroted points from other people who simply made it up. All right, so Thomas Rentz here, great, great attorney, absolute COVID warrior, conservative warrior attorney, Tom Rentz, put out, and this is what I've been saying for a very long time, and until this stuff is done, they're going to continue to lie, and lie, lie, lie. Well, we are being bankrupted. Alex Jones, bankrupted. Rudy Giuliani, bankrupted. Why? For defamation. And neither one of them committed any defamation whatsoever, but they're both bankrupted for defamation because they were hauled in front of blue judges, blue juries, and blue jurisdictions. So they're going to lose, of course, because they are a conservative pundit or they are somebody who supports President Trump. And if you get, and you remember the judges in the Alex Jones cases, one of them, purple hair, had, you know, I'm vaccinated on her social media post, an obvious leftist. Didn't allow Bannon to put on a defense. Didn't allow Navarro to put on a defense. Didn't allow Alex Jones to put on a defense. Didn't allow Roger Stone to put on a defense. Didn't allow Rudy Giuliani to show the video footage of Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman putting the same ballots in the same machines over and over again. And that's what they were suing him of. They said that they never did that. But he has video of them doing that. He wasn't allowed to show that in court. And he ends up having to pay them a fine or whatever you want to call it, settlement of $48 million when he's worth $10 million. Alex Jones gets fined, has to pay the families of the Sandy Hook families, basically one just under $1 billion. And Alex Jones doesn't have $1 million. At one time, he had like 10 or 15 million. He has nothing now. I actually talked to him in person. He told me I spent the last $10 million I have fighting these things. That's all. He has nothing. Exactly. Remember, InfoWars is supposed to go up for auction November 13th, I believe. What are they going to auction off? His microphone? What's the InfoWars building and cameras worth? I mean, what? A couple hundred grand? 500 grand? At most, $1 million. He owes $1 billion. Remember, $1 billion is 1,000 millions. And they're maybe, and they're also trying to take down his name so he can no longer use the name Alex Jones. It's the country we're living in right now. And my point in saying all of that is this is going to go on and on and on and on and on with Mar-a-Lago being raided, Project Veritas being raided, the person who found Ashley Biden's diary being arrested. This is going to go on and on and on and on until we make them pay for what they've done. And that's what Thomas Rentz is saying. Trump should immediately file suit against every outlet that pushed the edited version of his comments. He never said, and I'm going to play him in a minute, and all of you have already seen it. It's kind of old news from yesterday. But again, I just have to make sure. And I like to deep dive on it even more than the average person, which we're going to do, obviously. But basically what he said was, let Liz Cheney go to war and face guns. She loves to send thousands of our men and women to die in overseas conflicts of which we gain absolutely nothing. Anybody name what we've gained in Afghanistan, Iraq? Aaron, can you?
Nope.
I can't. Naz, can you? I mean, can anybody in this room name anything that we've gained in any of these wars? I can't think of one thing that we didn't gain any oil. No. All we did was lose $2-3 trillion. That's all we lost in those wars. We didn't gain trillions of dollars. We lost trillions of dollars. And 5,000-6,000 people have died. I mean, on our side. So, I mean, and not to mention all the other people that have died and collateral damage and everybody else. So if you want to fight all these wars, if you're John Bolton, if you're Liz Cheney and you want to fight all these wars, fantastic. You fight first. That's what he said. That's basically what he said. And we'll play the exact statement in just a minute. But that's all that he said. He never said anything about, I want to position Liz Cheney with a blindfold on in front of guns and shoot and kill her. I want to execute her. I want to assassinate her with a firing squad. That never happened. But that's what all the media is espousing. And what Thomas Rentz is saying is if they espoused it, whether it's Joe and Mika, whether it's Aaron Ruppart, whether it's the Krasensteins, anybody who espoused the fallacy, Ken Paxton, Ashley Moody, Andrew Bailey, right now launch lawsuits against them. Private citizens, Donald J. Trump, everybody involved in it, file a lawsuit of defamation against them. But Trump should do it. The legal standard that applies is actually malice. Since the Arizona AG is investigating this publicly and has announced that the announcement should constitute injury in light of his campaign, exactly, the editing demonstrates actual malice because what they were doing was they were just taking a little splice of what he said out of it. Basically, let Liz Cheney face nine guns is basically what he said. And I'll play it for you in a second. But anyway, that's all that they put in there. Not the entire thing about calling her a war hawk, that these are just war hawk Republicans that always want to send people where they left. All of that out except for an edited like 7-second clip that like Aaron Ruppart put out and all the rest of the leftists put out saying Donald Trump wants to assassinate Liz Cheney. Donald Trump wants to execute Liz Cheney. So he didn't say anything like it. And what Thomas Rentz is saying is if you're going to sue us into oblivion, Alex Jones into oblivion, Rudy Giuliani into oblivion, and many others into oblivion. People have lost their accounts. There's people that make a living doing what I'm doing right now that can no longer make a living because Biden's Justice Department and State Department conspired with Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook and YouTube and banned them off of social media, and they lost all their income. The editing demonstrates actual malice. Lots more to this type of case, but this is absolutely absurd. Go to the next one for me, Nas. Now, here is, I believe, can you, there you go. This is what Aaron Ruppard put out. Play for me.
And I don't blame him for sticking with his daughter, but his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face. You know,
and that's all that he put out. I'm going to play you the entire clip, the entire segment of the clip in just a minute. But that's what Aaron Ruppard put out. Here's what Liz Cheney put out. This is how dictators destroy free nations. They threaten those who speak against them with death. That's not what he did. That's not what he did. He didn't threaten her with death. He said, you want to go to war? Go fight it. It's not threatening her with death at all. We cannot entrust our country and our freedom to a petty, vindictive, cruel, unstable man who wants to be a tyrant. Women will not be silenced. Vote Kamala. Leave this up. So this person who says that she's pro-life is voting for a woman who is pro-abortion, pro-slaughtering of children while they're in the womb, while they're in the birth canal, and after they're born. She thinks Kamala Harris is less dangerous than Donald Trump. She believes slaughtering. She talks about women will not be silenced. What about the 500,000 of them that are butchered in the womb every year? Are they not silenced? So, I mean, get the idiocy of this woman. She's right. I mean, Donald Trump is absolutely right. This is a dumb woman. Women will not be silenced while she votes for and campaigns for the woman that's killing 500,000 of them a year inside of the continental United States of America. 20 million women worldwide. That's who this conservative is voting for. As well as Kamala is a socialist. So that's what Liz Cheney is supporting. Kamala is a communist. That's what Liz Cheney is supporting. Kamala wants to pay for trans surgeries for children, trans surgeries for illegal migrants, trans surgeries for prisoners. And she wants a wide open border, a giant government. And that's what this conservative is voting for. And she believes that Donald Trump is more dangerous than all those things that I just named. That's how stupid you have to be a never Trump Republican like Liz Cheney. All right, go to the next one for me, Nas. I don't even know where I am. Okay, here we are. Cassie Hunt. So here's what the media put out. And this goes back to the Thomas Rentz lawsuit. Just side by side that for just a second, guys. I mean, you can't, Aaron. This woman right here, Cassie Hunt, needs to be sued into oblivion. Liz Cheney needs to be right there. That tweet will never go away unless she puts it out and says, I retract my tweet. I apologize for what I said, because Donald Trump never threatened her life. Never threatened her life. Aaron Ruppard, the Splice video that we just played a moment ago, he's Democratic Party pundit. And whether I didn't look at all the rest of them, didn't need to. Wherever Ruppard stands, where the Krasensteins are, Mediastan, and all the rest of the idiots that have Twitter accounts that are leftist pundits. And they're also on the news too. But anyway, all of them need to be sued into oblivion. Why does Cassie Hunt need to be sued into oblivion? Watch what she said. Play for me.
4 days out from Election Day, and former President Donald Trump is escalating his violent rhetoric, suggesting one of his most prominent critics, the former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, should be fired upon.
She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face. You know, they're all war hawks when they're sitting in Washington in a nice building saying, oh, gee, Will, let's send 10,000 troops right into the mouth of the enemy.
Let's see how she feels when the guns are trained on her face. Let's sit with that for a moment.
What's wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I would say that about people who criticize the police. I'd like to see you do the job. I'd like to see you face down an armed gunman, right? I'd like to see you do it. What's wrong with that? Did I just threaten that? Aaron, is that a threat?
Nope.
I just said, hey, I'd like to see you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, as a cop for 25 years myself, I've been plenty critical of cops, especially during the last 4.5 years, 15 days to flatten the curve all around the world with the cops. But anyway, if I say that, listen, that's not a threat. All he simply said was, I'd like to see her with a gun in her hand facing down other weapons pointed at her. She needs to be sued into oblivion for false accusations, for defamation. Jonah Goldberg did the exact same thing. He put out the exact same statement. And now he's walked it back, probably because he saw Tom Rentz's tweet. He's like, no, thank you. I don't want any part of this. Yeah, exactly. Smart move, Jonah. You're really a dumb human being. But in this one specific instance, you're actually doing a smart thing because you need to be sued into oblivion also. Man, I'm slowing down the slides now. All right, so here's the actual full statement by Donald Trump brought to you by Kamala Harris HQ Lies. Play for me.
But his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face. You know, they're all war hawks when they're sitting in Washington in a nice building saying, oh, gee, let's send 10,000 troops right into the mouth of the enemy.
Yeah, and that's exactly correct. They're all war hawks. You got Dick Cheney and of course, Liz Cheney and Barack Obama, who love to do drone strikes. You got John Bolton, all the rest of the military-industrial complex. They love to start wars. They themselves never fight in. And their kids never fight in them. So they love to start wars. And he simply said, you know what? You want to start a war? Let's put a gun in your hand and you go fight it. You go fight it. All right, so let's go. So we just killed that. That's their latest hoax, which is a sad, pathetic attempt at another October/November surprise. Pathetic attempts. Trump loves Hitler. Trump wished he had Hitler's generals. Pathetic attempts. One pathetic attempt after another. And then as they put out these hoax attempts, we got Joey Biden backing us up. Joey Biden's out there nibbling on feet, kids' feet, little baby feet. We got Joe Biden calling us garbage. I mean, this is great. I mean, as they try to put out these little hoaxes, Joe Biden's actually thwarting the hoaxes that his own party's putting out. It's fantastic. All right, so let's go to this one now. So Jimmy Kimmel has now violated the law. Quote, now remember, again, I'm going back to Tom Rentz. If they do it to us and they establish, remember now, it's it for tat, it's retribution. That's fine. It's fine. It's not revenge. It's justice. Those are two different things. Well, we want to live above board. We're gonna let bygones be bygones. We're not gonna do the low things. No, this is the war that we're in. That again is like showing up to a modern war with missiles, with tanks, with artillery, machine guns, and you show up with a Colt revolver. I'm gonna stick with the old rules. Okay, you're gonna die then. If these are the rules that they want, these are the rules that they put in place. This is the new game. That if you put out a political meme that could in any way, shape, or form, in some convoluted sense, affect some idiot's ability to vote or the timing or place and time of some idiot voting, you go to jail, i.e. Douglas Mackey, who put out a meme, which we'll go over all of this. You put out a meme that says, you know what, vote for Kamala on November 6th. Okay, if you put that out, you're going to jail. Douglas Mackey did, and it's been recently overturned. But he initially went to jail, or he was initially convicted of it. I don't know if he ever spent any time in jail. But that's the new rules, right? That's the new rules. You can't, in the state of California, you can't put out political memes anymore. That's been overturned, it appears, by the Supreme Court. But, I mean, that was what Gavin Newsom wanted to do. Of course, all the political memes against the Republican Party were allowed, and all the political memes against the Democratic Party, those violated the law. So now Jimmy Kimmel has Douglas Mackey'd himself because he told Trump supporters to vote for Trump after the election. So I'm expecting at any time for him to be prosecuted. Now, I'm saying that facetiously because we know Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco from the DOJ are not going to prosecute Jimmy Kimmel. But if Kash Patel is running it or Mike Davis is running it, I expect Jimmy Kimmel to be prosecuted. And it's not retribution. It's not revenge. It's their rules. And how do you get them off of their rules? Make them live by them. If they have to live by the rules that they make us live by, they'll stop instituting these rules. All right, Tom Elliott video. Here's what Jimmy Kimmel said. Play for me, Ness.
McCall, wrestle that mop bucket out of his hands. I don't know if you guys know about this, but we have an election coming up on. I feel pretty relaxed about it. I've really been enjoying the week. It's in times like these, it's important to remember that cannabis is legal in our state. If you can vote early, vote early. If you can't vote early, vote on time. If you want to vote for Trump, vote late, vote very late. Do your voting on Thursday or maybe Friday. This will be my third time voting against Donald Trump. Fifth, if you count the two times he was nominated for an Emmy for a reality show host. According to a new poll from CNN, only 30% of American voters think if he loses, Trump will concede. Which, what would give them that idea?
That's good. We don't need to listen to any more of his diatribe. But anyway, so he said, vote for Trump on Thursday. Of course, the election's on Tuesday. Now, Douglas Mackey, Aaron just sent this to me, was found guilty of conspiracy against rights by a federal jury in March of 2023. And Naz, I'm going to throw a little kink in the chain for you. Can you go to that Douglas Mackey post? It's about two. It's two down from where we are right now. It's the third one down from where we are right now. It's the Douglas Mackey post. And then when you have it, Aaron, just side by side. Mackey was found guilty of conspiracy against rights by a federal jury in March of 2023, facing up to 10 years in jail for that.
It is funny.
I mean, that's what he did. Avoid the line, vote from home, text Hillary to 259925. Now, leave this up for me. He was facing 10 years in prison for this. What about Jimmy Kimmel? And you're like, well, we can't, you know, we want to be above this. You can't. There is no above it. This is the war that we're in. You're to go to jail. You're going to be above it while going to jail. All the Republicans, we need to be above it. Let bygones be bygones. If you do that, now while we're in power, we won't have to go to jail. But if we're not in power, we're all going to go to jail for Mackey-esque posts. And Aaron's right. This is hysterical. Now, let me go over this with you. How many people actually texted this number? Zero. How many people tried to vote for Hillary using that text number? Zero. And he was facing 10 years. By the way, he was found guilty of this. Aaron, can you put that thing back up? Yeah, thank you. Good. Leave all this the way you got it. He was found guilty of conspiracy against rights, which, by the way, according to Mike Davis, Article 3 Foundation, follow Mike Davis. If you don't, you're wasting your time when it comes to legal stuff. Same with Julie Kelly. Follow these people. But a conspiracy against rights is what we need to put Alvin Bragg under, Matthew Colangelo under, Judge Engeron under, Judge Merchan under, and Merrick Garland under, Lisa Monaco under, Christopher Wray under. They can all be prosecuted under conspiracy against rights. But Douglas, and why would they be prosecuted for violation of conspiracy against rights? Because they actually raided people's homes and arrested them for crimes that don't exist and then prosecuted them for crimes that don't exist. I mean, literal crimes that have never existed ever in history. Donald Trump's being prosecuted for, as well as other people. As well as what they did in Navarro and the J6 committee that issued subpoenas, but they don't have the lawful right to issue subpoenas. I guess that means Aaron and I can just issue subpoenas and demand that people show up at church on Sunday. We subpoenaed you to church on Sunday. And if they don't show up, we can prosecute them for it. Conspiracy against rights. Aaron just said this to me. If two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any person in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him by the Constitution or laws of the United States or because of his having so exercised the same. So there you go. They obviously qualify for those things. So Mackey's fate, put up that original one for me again, Aaron, so I got that. I want to remember. He's facing 10 years in prison for that. Nobody tried to even vote with that. I'll take that part back. I'm not sure if anybody tried. Nobody actually ever voted using that. I mean, nobody, so obviously there's really no attempt. There was no votes that were lost. Nothing ever happened. They all knew that. And by the way, when they prosecuted him, look at the date. That was him against Hillary. That's not him against Biden. They did this during the Biden administration, 7 years after he posted it. Just like they did to Donald Trump. 7 years after Stormy Daniels. Now you got the 34 felony counts. Lo and behold, right when how much you want to bet? That they were prosecuting Douglas Mackey right when Biden started to run for president or right after Biden won, whatever it may be. when it was politically convenient to do so, or right before the 2022 election, probably. Yeah, it was. It was 2022. The federal jury was in March of 2023, but I believe they started the case against him in 2022. Because guess what was happening in November of 2022? A big election. And they didn't want people doing these things. You have the right to do this. Listen, if you're stupid enough to try to vote via text, you know what? You deserve what you get. You deserve to lose your vote that election. If you're stupid enough to, oh, I'm going to text Hillary. Okay, Douglas Mackey's facing 10 years in prison. So I'm assuming now that Jimmy Kimmel is going to face the same. And of course, it's not going to happen under Merrick Garland, but it needs to happen immediately on day one. And they like going 7 years back? Since 7 years back, just 2 days ago. You know what? Fine. He needs to be prosecuted. There is no, we're going to be above this. Okay, you're going to lose and you're going to go to jail. This is the war. And if Jimmy Kimmel goes to jail for it, you know what? They'll stop all of their shenanigans. They'll stop all of their lawfare if they themselves have lawfare used against them. All right, Naz, let's go to the United States Department of Justice tweet. So this is what they put out, right? Spreading false information about voting times. Did Jimmy Kimmel do that? Yes. Or locations is a serious offense, a serious crime. The Justice Department is vigilant in prosecuting those who try to mislead voters as long as they're Republicans. All right, let's go to Christina Wong. Here's what another Democrat did. A lot of you, this is old news for a lot of you, have seen all this stuff already. But here's what, now this was put out, look at the date. This was put out basically the same time as Douglas Mackey. I'm just curious, why didn't Merrick Garland go after her? I'm just curious, why didn't the DOJ go after her? I don't understand, because look what she put. Hey, Trump supporters, skip poll lines at election 2016 and text in your vote. Text votes are legit, she even put. Or vote, she's worse than Mackey. Or vote tomorrow on Super Wednesday. Now can you put Mackey's back up again? What's the difference? That gets 10 years in prison. Now put Christina Wong back on. This gets nothing. That's the country that we're living in right now. All right, let's go on to the next one. Let's go on to the next thing. Am I Greg Price, Naz, that we are? Greg Price video?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Greg Price video breaking. The October jobs numbers have come in. Let's let the news report speak for itself. Play for me.
Yes, the big jobs report, and the prophecy came true. Jobs light, 12,000 in non-farm payroll. That is the lightest going back to December of 2020.
The worst job report, we cut off the end. You didn't do it, Ness. It's the video itself. It's the worst job report since, can anybody guess? December of 2020, in the middle of the pandemic. It's the worst job report. In the entire United States of America, and we have somewhere between 350 and 400 million people live here with illegal migration. In the entire country of the United States of America, get this, Aaron, in the month of October, which is a 31-day month, we added 12,000 jobs.
Wow.
For the entire country. And by the way, what happens to all their job numbers? Remember, that's the best. That's what they consider to be palatable. That's what they're lying to you about. That's the best they can put out with lies. What's going to happen to those numbers? They're going to get revised down. So what's really going to happen? It's going to be a net negative for the month of October. Because let me bring this back to you. Remember the Biden administration, the glorious Biden administration, for the fiscal year 23-24, October of 23, all the way to where we are now, said that they added 1 million jobs to the economy. But they were only off by that number by 817,000 jobs. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making up that number. That's exactly what it was down. 817,000 jobs. They only missed it by 817,000 jobs. It was revised down that far. So, and by the way, this is the brand new month. This is the brand new fiscal year. And this will be revised down also. In the month of October, they netted 12,000 jobs total. And 46,000 manufacturing jobs were lost by the administration that claims that they're going to revitalize manufacturing in the United States of America. And in the month of October, this is the best they can do, because this is when you want to perform your best, right before everyone's pulling the levers, right? You should have these extraordinary gas prices right now. And these extraordinary, our GDP went down, gross domestic product went down, of course. and the job numbers where you only create 12,000 jobs, which we know that's going to be revised to probably minus 150,000 jobs because 46,000 manufacturing jobs were lost. And it's probably double that because that'll be revised down also, of course. Actually, revised up, there'll be more of those jobs lost, depending on how you look at it. So that this is the best they can do for 5 days before an election. That is the expertise. This is the abilities of Biden-Harris and now Harris-Waltz. That right before an election, you should have these great, you should at least be able to, you know, we'll do something to stimulate the economy so we get a whole bunch of jobs so that we look good right before people go in and vote. No, they came up with 12,000 total jobs in the month of October and lost 46,000 manufacturing jobs. And those will all be revised down. All right, go to the next one for me. Kamala HQ. She actually put this out. This is, I don't know about she. This may just be an account that follows Kamala, but it's a big account and obviously leftist on Twitter. Vance says he has been red-pilled about vaccines because he felt sick after he got a vaccine. This is how vaccines work. So the left thinks that vaccines work when you get sick from the disease you just got vaccinated against. That's how they think vaccines work. So I guess you get polio when you go to polio. If you're Bill Gates vaccine, yeah. But I guess when you get any sort of vaccination, you're supposed to catch the disease you're being vaccinated against, and that's how vaccines work. That is the intellect of the left. That is the mindset of the left. He's red-pilled because he got sick with the disease he was being vaccinated against. That's how vaccines work. Kamala Harris, it is her official?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. There you go. Aaron just told me that's her official campaign account. Kamala Harris HQ. That's how, again, I don't want to, I do this all the time. Can't believe it's already 9:55. Honestly, I can't freaking believe it's already 9:55. Honestly, I cannot believe, look at the bottom, 8 million views to that. And they just told, that's how vaccines work. When you, vaccines, you know they're working when you catch the disease you're being vaccinated against. And by the way, it wasn't, he just felt sick. He said it was like the sickest he's ever been once he got, because he got vaccinated against COVID-19. And well, you shouldn't put a gene-altering therapeutic, a gene-altering drug vaccine into your bloodstream. Otherwise, you are going to get very sick, and hopefully he'll be perfectly fine for the rest of his life. But I just wanted to show you, the thinking of the left, the mindset of the left is, you know what? How vaccines work is you catch the very thing you're being vaccinated against. And then all the Christians follow Kamala HQ advice during the pandemic. You're like, no, we didn't. Yeah, you did. And most Christians have never come out and said, you know what? I am not holding rank and file Christians accountable. And no Christians above another. I just mean there's some Christian leadership out there. And I haven't seen one Christian come out, not one pastor come out that has a big following, that closed, that pimped and hoard vaccines, stood 6 feet apart, put out alcohol gel stations, and closed their churches and did Zoom services. I've seen some of them now come out, act like they were always against it, but I've never seen one come out and say, I was wrong for what I did. And they listen the entire time. They're following the idiocy that's shown in this tweet. The entire time. All right, let's go to the next one. The Associated Press tweet breaking, the White House altered the transcript of President Joe Biden's garbage remarks, which, by the way, is a crime. despite stenographer concerns. So the stenographer, I know it's a weird life and a lot of us don't get it. I don't get it. Where you're sitting there, but Joe Biden was on like a conference call at that time. That's where he's making the comments to some group where he called us all garbage. It's a matter of an apostrophe. What he was saying was, I meant it specifically toward the comedian, Trump followers? Is that what he called us? Trump, I
think it was supporters.
Supporters, there you go, Aaron. Thank you. Yep. The Trump supporters. And he said, instead of apostrophe S, they changed it to S apostrophe. So it went specific to the guy. So that Trump supporters opinion is what he's saying. Even though he didn't use the word that. He said his supporters, which we all know what he meant. And the stenographer put down the correct grammar. And then the White House changed it, which you're not allowed to do. There's a specific procedure you have to get with the stenographer because there's a whole organization. Yes, none of us are used to this, that you just stand there your whole life and you have somebody typing everything you say. Scary, and I wouldn't want that with me, with the things that I say. But anyway, Biden did. But there's a specific process you have to go through where you get with the stenographer organization, whatever that is inside the government, and you have to like come to a consensus about changing anything. Didn't do it. White House just changed it. So here we have once again, either Biden refusing to give over the transcripts, refusing to release information, or just simply changing it. And then I don't care how old he is. I don't care how decrepit he is when he leaves office. I don't care about any of these things. I don't believe a lot of what people say about dementia and Alzheimer's. I don't believe in that. He's brain injured, and it was enhanced. The injuries were enhanced by him taking a gene-altering drug. He's caught COVID I don't know how many times. I don't care what his state is. He needs to be prosecuted for all these crimes. Him and his son. And this latest one, if it's a crime, he needs to be prosecuted for it. Or you know what? Now that we do post-administrative impeachments, he needs to be impeached after he leaves office, just like they did to Trump. Let's look at some election interference stuff. Go, Aaron.
Oh, I was just going to say real quick, I don't even know how they would change that to make it sound better. The exact quote is, "The only garbage I see floating out there is Trump's supporters." How do you even fix that to make
He said that he was using the word supporter in the singular, talking about the specific comedian. Like that Trump supporter.
Okay.
Which, of course, is a bold face lie. So we got that. All right, let's go into some election fraud stuff here. And this is the only way we can lose. Right here, it's the only way we can lose. Earlier this year, Chris Krebs, remember that? This is the most secure election in American history in 2020. Yeah, Chris. Another deep state Republican Brad Raffensperger's type that is actually an Atlantic-style Democrat, worldwide globalist, calling himself a Republican. The most dangerous people to us are not the Democrats. It's people like Chris Krebs to our political movement. Earlier this year, CISA and FBI released a joint statement that election results could be delayed due to cyber attacks. How can that be? How can a cyber attack affect a machine that's not hooked up to the internet? Aaron, you're the tech guy.
No, can't.
Okay, there we go.
I can't.
Okay, so how can a cyber attack affect machines that they say that I'm sure that in these Dominion lawsuits, the Dominion under oath has sworn that they are never hooked up to the internet? Then how can a cyber attack affect an election when none of the election machines are hooked up to the internet? And you know how you defeat a cyber attack from affecting your elections? Don't use machines. Use paper ballots. That's what you do. And listen, I would prefer no machines at all, but you know, I have to always give DeSantis credit. He's the greatest governor in the history of Florida and the greatest governor in the United States of America right now, followed closely by Kristi Noem. But today, I got myself a paper ballot. I mean, because that's all you get in Florida. You go there and you got a pen and you fill in all those bubbles. That's what you do. And then a machine, you do put it in a machine and it reads the bubbles. But at least it's about not like those machines that we've shown where you're hitting the machine, what do you call it? Touchscreen, Aaron?
Yep.
Touchscreen doesn't work. And then it doesn't work on Trump, and then it automatically defaults to you voting for Kamala Harris. And by the way, we have video footage of that too. And we have video footage of people complaining about it. He goes, I voted for Trump. You get your printed ticket afterwards to show you voted for Harris. Because a lot of people don't pay attention. But earlier this year, CISA and FBI say that, you know, the results could be delayed. Why would they be delayed if machines aren't hooked up to the internet via cyber attack? And what you have to ask is, why would the FBI want them delayed? Because obviously they're being proactive and telling us what they're up to before they do it, because these people are not smart. They're just simply passionate and zealous. That's all they are. Because they're planning on delaying the results so that they have time to print ballots using their phantom votes, which I've illustrated already numerous times, 218,000 of them in the state of Arizona, 700,000 of them. You're wondering why it is that Trump, and again, I know all of you have heard this story a bunch of times and it's short, but I go to bed on November 3rd of 2020. I go to bed, it's 3 o'clock in the morning because they said they stopped counting ballots in these swing states, waiting for Trump. Trump's up. I go to bed in Pennsylvania, I think 680,000 votes. And they stop counting ballots. I get up 4 hours later. And by the way, we're on the same time frame. What do you call it?
Time zone.
Time zone, yep. As Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Same time zone. Okay, I get up. And 7 o'clock, they're not even open. And my son comes in my room. Trump's only up by 1,400 votes now. And they said they stopped counting votes. That's what this is all about. In the state of Pennsylvania, they have 750,000 votes, phantom votes. In the state of Arizona, they got 218,000, up to 350,000 phantom votes. What are phantom votes? Those are registered voters that nobody knows who they are. They have no signature verification. There's no way to prove the person actually exists because they don't have any verified address or any verification of their citizenship at all. So they can just use those numbers, these phantom voters. This is what the Arizona lawsuit that they just lost and the Secretary of State of the state of Arizona has been forced to produce the names of these people that he said under oath he didn't know the names of, or he didn't have the names. And now it was, and now he's being forced to release the names that he said under oath he wasn't in possession of. So if you weren't in possession of them, then how can the judge force you to release them? And how did you not then perjure yourself, which you did? But so they just have these names in the air because it's very simple, folks. It can be somebody. It can be Aaron three times as one of those 218,000 people. They can combo Aaron and his wife's name. And Naz is who's throwing these slides up here right now. That's Aaron's wife. They can use Aaron Nazareth, Nazareth Yeager, Yeager Nazareth, and just put them all under the same address. I illustrated to you last night. One voter ID. If you look today, like when I had to fill out my, well, actually, when they're showing me my screen, I had to verify my information. I have a voter ID. One voter ID in the state of Pennsylvania, or was it Michigan? No, it's Michigan under Jocelyn Benson, who's, you know, she said she's very, very committed to voter and election integrity. One voter cast 29 votes under one. Oh, Aaron, you're the man. There it is, right there. Break it. This is absolute truth, by the way. Absolute truth. Same guy. Look at all the different addresses. Some of them have the same address. When you don't require ID when you vote, then what keeps you from voting 47 times? I mean, does anybody ever think about it? If there's no voter ID required in the state of Michigan, where the Secretary of State who runs the election says that she's committed to voter and election integrity. But look at the same addresses on the over there. That's what they do. These are phantom voters. There can be 37 Tom Lipleys with different addresses. That's what they're doing. Same thing they do with ActBlue, with their political donations that are mainly 60% of ActBlue donations are coming directly from the CCP and from the PLA. They go in there and you have some lady, Jane Smith, in New Jersey. And on ActBlue's records, it says, you can just leave this up, I like this. It says on ActBlue's records that she made 4,700 donations in 2 years. Totaling $107,000. And you go to her and say, have you ever given ActBlue? I gave one time. They used her name and then and her address, and then they used it to give thousands of times. Why would they have her give 4,700 times? So that it qualifies under campaign finance laws, and so that they can say it's a grassroots campaign and they're getting all their money in small dollar donations. It's all fraud, and this is all fraud. You can go back to my original slide there, the Emerald Robinson slide. There you go. So anyway, so that allegedly it's going to be delayed so that they can use those phantom voters and say, how many are we down? How many are we down? Tom's going to bed at 3:00 in the morning. Oh, we're down 600,000. Okay, that's a lot. We're going to have to really, because in the state of Michigan, I always get Michigan and Pennsylvania confused, but in the state of Michigan, there's 750,000 votes that are 750,000 people on the voter rolls that are supposed to be purged. That's their phantom ballots they're going to try to use in Detroit on election night. So hopefully we have people in place there. So there it is. How can you be delayed via cyber attack when your machines aren't hooked up to the internet? Makes absolutely no sense. All right, let's go to the next one now. Patrick Byrne tweet. This is the Maricopa County trick. In 2022, they slightly misprinted. What a shock. Didn't misprint any Democrat ballots whatsoever. Slightly misprinted ballots in the Republican precincts only. So not only did they not misprint any Democrat ballots, but they didn't misprint any ballots inside of Democratic Party districts, so that the ballots could not be read by the machines. How convenient. That's why you have to vote early. Then workers would say, give it to me, and I will get it to work later. This is what is going on currently under Josh Shapiro's Pennsylvania. Here's the video, Wall Street Apes video, happening again, the Maricopa County trick in Levington, Pennsylvania. Play it for me.
The answer is no. So that they
I'll be happy. Give me your receipt. Take your name on it.
Yeah, take a picture. You can take a picture. Okay. My name is Michael Bannon. Let's not do that. So my name is Michael Bannon. You can fill this out. We'll do the best we can. I have no problem. I've tried my best. You can fill this out.
The top of your ballot. Put if you want it mailed to your house or if you want to pick it up Thursday. You can, if you elect Thursday, you can come here Thursday and pick up your ballot.
No, no, I'm a volunteer, but I will be happy to do this. Give it to me. I'll do it.
And then you'll pick up your
thank
ballot.
Thank you. Then he handed it in to me. Yes, I'll do that.
Would it be a line again?
No. See, now here's my question. You always have Biden going up to some microphone saying, we're Americans. We can do anything. Why can't we run elections anymore? And this is now, it's now become a place where the ridiculousness is accepted. It's like I told you, empty store shelves are gradually becoming acceptable inside the United States of America. And now not being able to simply run an election is becoming acceptable. And now the left is actually a tactic of the left. And not only is it a tactic of the left, they believe it themselves now. They're firmly and completely, I'll leave that for me, Aaron, firmly and completely brainwashed. They honestly believe, well, you can't do an election in a day. Okay, I'm 56 years old, and I've been voting since, I believe my first time I voted was 1992, I think. Voting, sadly, for Herbert Walker Bush when he lost to Bill Clinton. Anywho, so I've been voting since 1992, which is what, Aaron, that'd be 10 years, 20 years, about 32 years-ish. So there you go. So I've been voting for 30-some-odd years now, and never until 2020 did I ever see where nobody could count ballots in a day.
Yeah.
Why can't Levittown, Pennsylvania, with a population, that's what I have Aaron giving me over, given to me on the left here, when you hear me say things like, hold it up, Aaron, I can see things you can't. They have a town of 52,000 and they can't, why can't people go in and vote? Well, I mean, okay. Well, the machines are broke. Okay. Well, first of all, why do the machines always break every time in any way? The machines never break in a way that benefits Republicans. They only break in a way that benefits Democrats. But even if they do break, let me just give you an example. Guess what? You know, again, for those of you that don't know, I was a cop for 25 years. Funny, because we have 913 people watching right now, and that was my badge number, 913. So when we called them digitals, our computers inside of our cars, I started as a cop in 1992 because you can imagine how antiquated they were, all the way up to when I retired, would occasionally go out. If they go out, I'll just ask Aaron, as a guy who's never been a cop before, but a highly intelligent person, Aaron, if our computers go out, that means we can no longer get dispatch calls coming through our computer.
Right.
Does that mean we no longer go to calls?
Absolutely not.
Okay, you find a way. Is that not correct?
Yeah.
And by the way, at the end of my career, you did all your paperwork through that computer, and it was a printer, and it would puke out all your reports. You'd have never had to leave your police car. And occasionally your printer would go out. Guess what you do? Write your report. If the computer went out and it didn't generate a report, you wrote the report. That's what you did. That's how it works. It spit out your tickets, too. You know what you did? If it didn't, your ticket machine didn't work. You got out your old antiquated ticket book and wrote a ticket. That's what you did. Go, Aaron.
And I'm guessing that if that was the case for more than a day, they'd have a backup for you.
Well,
right?
Correct. It wasn't for more than a day. It was 1 second. There's always a backup in place.
Right.
You're going to have to answer police calls, even if you're not going to get dispatched. It's highly convenient to be dispatched through a computer screen. Why? Because you got all your information right there. You got suspect name. You got location. You got GPS. You got everything. Boom, right there. And that thing goes out, you got your map book back out. Unless you back now, you can use your phones to GPS yourself. But there's different times and different technology levels throughout my career. But anyway, so if your machines aren't working, you need to take the ballots then and count them now. Not fill out your ballot and we'll feed it through the machine later ourselves. Oh yeah, I'm going to trust you to do it. And so in a city, I'm just going to compare, go city by city here. Here in Sarasota County, Florida, we have, I don't know, 330,000, 340,000 people live right here in the county. And I went and voted, like I said, you know, again, today, voted today. And by the way, there's a lot of people voting. A lot of people. And it appeared to be Trumpsters to me. There was not any Democrats out in the parking lot. It was all like a Trump tent. No Democrat tent. Trump tent out there with people working it, handing out stuff and everything. I went through there all totaled 20 minutes, I mean, all total, like by the time I got in line, Got my, I had to go in there. You have to, they have all kinds of people working. They were great. Northport, Florida, great job. Whatever precinct you are, great job. Precinct captain, great job. Precinct committeeman, great job. Right here in Northport, Florida. Boom. Done. 20 minutes total. Line, voting, out, in my car. Done. It was probably even less than that. It's probably like 16 or 17 minutes. Done. Why can't Levittown do that? And if the machines go down, then you should get your vote and it should be registered right then and there and counted right then and there. There should be always be a backup system in place, as there is anywhere else. So if the fire department loses digital dispatch, they're not going to report, they're not going to respond to the fires. There always should be a backup. There should be always be another machine. And again, with multi-trillion dollar, multi-billion dollar budgets, you can't have backup printers and backup computers. I mean, we've had all kinds of collapses here at the podcast. Aaron always fixes them. All right, Levittown, Pennsylvania, population 52,000. Sarasota County, population 400. Wow, we've gone way up. Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Man, oh man, 469,000. Man, I need to pay closer attention to the census going on here. Wow, holy moly. And that's gone up 100,000 since I retired.
And that was only 20 minutes for you-ish.
Yeah, 20 minutes. 469,000 people live here, and I waited, 16 minutes. I'm out. I pulled up in my truck. In and out total. I mean, that's walking in, walking out. I had a guy stop me in the parking lot and to try to influence me to vote a Republican. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm all in. You know, because there's a certain length you have to stay away. They didn't violate the law. It's all good. And I actually needed what he said because there's a couple of things I didn't know on the ballot that I needed to vote for. But anyway. So here's the Nick Sorter video. Voter lines, and here it is, and Bucks County has already been sued by one Donald J. Trump because of this. Voting lines in Bucks County, Pennsylvania are up to 5 hours long. Play it for me. This is a good comparison. Aaron just brought this up. So Bucks County is roughly by 100,000 more than where I live, Sarasota County. So Bucks County is about, let's just say, Sarasota County has 470,000 people living in it.
Yep.
Buck County, well, they're about 200,000 more. So they've got about 600 and something. What was it?
646.
646. So, yeah. You know, what, 180,000 more than we do. And this is your lines? You're telling me there's nothing behind this? I voted in 16 minutes, and there it takes 5 hours. We have basically the same size community. Exact same size community, give or take 100,000 people. So, come on. 5 hours long to wait? I waited 17 minutes. You're telling me there's no political agenda behind this to get people to stop voting? And I don't know what persuasion Bucks County is, whether it leans left or right, but this is absolutely ridiculous. There's no excuse for this. And they said some offices only have one or two staffers in them. You know what you do when you're understaffed? Aaron, do you know?
Get more staff.
Hey, feel free. It's going to be obvious. If I ask you a question, I'm not going to put you on the spot. You know, there's an election coming. You can bring it back to me. There's an election coming up on November 5th, and we're understaffed. Do you know what you do? You hire freaking people. So what's I should stop right now. I said 10:15. I should stop. Let me get this one in. I got to get this one in. Because this broke my heart today. Absolutely broke my heart. I mean, therefore, I am video. Breaking Jose Ibarra, for those of you who don't know who that is, that's the person who raped and murdered Lakin Riley, on the University of Georgia campus, is back in court today, November 1st, 2024, for a hearing to determine whether DNA evidence can be used in his upcoming trial. Additionally, Ibarra's defense team is seeking to suppress So, you know what, just run it. You can run it side by side. There's nothing to hear. Additionally, Ibarra's defense team is seeking to suppress cell phone footage from being introduced. There she is. Look at that. Look at that beautiful girl. Look at her. And the guy who's given this defendant a absolute death stare at the beginning of this, and yeah, I said death stare. There's Jose Ibarra, who would not be in this country if it wasn't for Kamala Harris right there. And by the way, just so everybody's clear and so I don't get reported, I don't mean that I want anything bad to happen to this guy. I don't mean literal death, just so everybody knows. But anyway, there he is. That's who, can you steal that? Aaron, can you steal that right there? That's the person who raped and murdered that girl. And he is in this country because Kamala Harris let him in. She would be alive. Let the Democrats say all they want to say. Oh, you know what? Okay, so you're saying that she would have been raped and murdered anyway by an American? That's their argument, is that Americans commit more crime than illegals, which is an absolute fallacy because there's a 100% crime rate amongst the illegal alien community. And then, by the way, even after their initial criminal offense of crossing our border illegally, they have a much higher crime rate than we do, even after that. But they always say that, well, you know, the Americans rape and murder people too. That's correct, but it seems to be much higher in the migrant community, the illegal migrant community, because they're already criminals. But they always say, you know, that Americans commit the same crimes too. But this isn't a zero-sum game. If he wasn't in the country, it doesn't mean, like, Lincoln Riley wasn't destined to be raped and murdered. Like, if he wasn't there, then an American would have done it. That's their argument. No, that's not the case. The reason why she's no longer with her parents are there probably in the courtroom. They're probably there. And you're looking at the person who raped and murdered your child. All because Kamala let him in the country and sleeps like a baby at night. That's what this election is all about. That's what this election is all about. I have so much more on the border, but it's already 10:19. All right, I love you guys. I really do appreciate you. Stick around for the post game. Goosey 600, Rumble Rants, Goosey 600, $100. Thank you so much, man. Thank you. D9597, $20. Thank you so much. Jana Jones, $10. Thank you so much. Matriarch of the Rumble Rant, Tammy L. Margritter, $10. Thank you so much. Dave Souders, $5. Thank you so much. Get Access Now, 444, $1. Thank you so much. Sexy Pony, $1. Thank you guys so much. Everything counts. Really do appreciate it. Hey, I do want to remind you, you want more of this? You want it mixed in with church? Join us, Foundation Church, this Sunday. I'll take the stage somewhere around 11 o'clock in the morning. Aaron will be leading worship, and the worship team's fantastic. You got to tune in for it. It's absolutely fantastic, fantastic. Naz, who's sitting here right now, actually runs the production. It's fantastic. And listen, Trump is great. Conservatism is great. The Republican Party platform is great. Republicans sometimes, but the Republican platform is great. But none of that can get you into heaven. None of that can forgive your sin. None of that can give you peace in your soul. You got to have Jesus. You've got to have Jesus. So join us at Foundation Church this Sunday starting at 10 a.m. Like I said, I'll start preaching somewhere around 11, and you never know what I'll say. I'm not beholden to anything. You will get Bible, 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 but I'll mix it with politics. I don't care. So join us. Let's try to break our record. We've never broken 700 before. Let's break 700 this Sunday. Let's do it right before the election. Believe me, we need it right before the election. All of us need to be in church. So join me, Foundation Church, this Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Really appreciate you guys. See a lot of you guys telling me thank you. Thank you right back to you. Wouldn't do it without you. Really appreciate you guys tuning in, especially on a Friday night with over 900 people on. Love you guys. Appreciate you. See you Sunday morning. If not, I'll see you Election Eve Monday night at 9 o'clock. Love you. God bless you. See you then. What if it's a new thing if I tell you that you are supposed to prosper, that you are supposed to be wealthy? That's Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Word just told you that new thing. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Is that a new thing for you that you need to receive it? Well, I believe that poverty is an attribute. No, Jesus became poor. And then they quote Jesus saying, he doesn't have a place to lay his head. He became poor for you. Not for you to emulate the poorness. That would be like you emulating sin. He became sin, so now you sin. He became poor, so now you're poor.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.